Holy Letters of the Rebbe, we in volume 10, letter number 3018, this is a letter the Rebbe is writing. You know, some teachers went on strike because they weren't getting paid. And, you know, of course, the Rebbe is very against, the Rebbe is very against the children suffering because of the financial, you know, and especially those who are on a yeshiva payroll or a day school or a girls' school. They don't have public funding and they're not underwritten by the government, and there's always a deficit, and sometimes a very big deficit, and sometimes so it's a difficult position to be in. And but the Rebbe does not accept at all going on strike. So here, Baruch Hashem, dated the 12th day of Marcheshvan, Toshim Tezvav, Brooklyn. Chaver Hamoidim, the Rebbe is speaking to the teachers union, I guess, or to the group of the teachers. Shalom Uvracham. So the Rebbe said, I'm responding to your letter dated the second day of Cheshvan that I had just now received. And because I'm so much in pain, I'm responding immediately. I'm not waiting in line. The Rebbe had a line in which he would answer, but the Rebbe says, I'm in so much pain that I'm going to respond immediately. Why am I so in pain? What's the reason for my pain? It's because the contents of your letter, what you write over there is, since the administration is obligated a sum of money for the teachers, so they notified the administration that they're going to take off time of learning. They're going to diminish the hours until they'll get paid that which they that is due them. So they're going to stop. It's like not a full strike, but a stop work, lowering the work.
Slow down.
And the Rebbe says, why am I in pain? I'll explain. It's understood. Number one, if you diminish the hours of instruction, the students, the boys, the girls, they are the one. Those are sons and daughters of Israel who are proper. They are suffering. So let's say the Rebbe said that the administration did an injustice about this. There is no justification that they didn't pay you, or they didn't pay you what they do, they owe you, but that's not a justification to punish the students, the boys and the girls. Especially the Rebbe says, you're punishing the administration with in such a way that it's something which is lost that you can never bring back, because time is a loss that can never return. Generally speaking, if you lose time, you're lost. If you didn't do it, you're not going to get back. So that's no justification. Especially, the Rebbe says, we're talking about hours of education of boys and girls, that every hour during the time of education is equal many times as much during the time when the person matures and self-understood. An hour in a child's life is valued many, many hours in an adult's life. So taking away time from instruction is something that the children are suffering from, and that should not be done. That's number one. Number two, the Rebbe says, I'm sure that even in your eyes, it's very clear that the administration did not do something intentionally. In other words, they didn't want to pay you. They did it intentionally. It's obvious. Had there been funds in the bank or in the kupa, or if it was easy to get money, a loan, things like that. So also the administration, the board of the directors, they would be very happy. They'd be very satisfied to pay up all the money they owe. So if there is sometimes you're going to pay somebody measure for measure, you did this, I'll give it back to you. But in this case, you are intentionally punishing on what the other individual did accidentally or against his will. In other words, you are deliberately paying them back when they paying back for not getting paid, when the reason why you didn't get paid was not a deliberate act from the administration. It was the unfortunate that there is no funds available. So don't give back. You give back, you know, tit for tat is not tit for tat, because it's a different level. They were accident, they're honest, they didn't want this to happen, and you're doing it intentionally. That's number two. Number three, they don't write here. By the way, there's a lot of things. Maybe there's things that they don't want to, like there's missing out. There's dots. And as you see, there's number two, bays. There's no gimel. So there's missing a whole another paragraph. But the Rebbe says, what I'm most bothered by is what is the most reason why I'm troubled, why I'm in pain over there, is because what kind of example are you setting for the students? What are you telling these students? This is destroying, the Rebbe says, the worldview of those being educated by you when they see that because of a physical demand to rabbi such and such, or to the activist, a community activism, you do an injustice to tens of boys and girls students, doing injustice. They see you're angry at somebody, they did you, you're having a demand, and you're ready to destroy tens of students. And what's going to be, since my teacher behaves like that, and the one who's educated him about Yiddishkeit teaches them good character traits, behaves in such a way, so they don't understand why should they, those people being educated, not follow ways that Tuvia Choto Vizigut Mangit, which means, you know, you one person does a sin and Zigut gets the punishment. We already, the Rebbe explained it, the quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara says that one person is not allowed to say bad about another person. So the Gemara says about, there's a guy named Tuvia. He did something inappropriate, not nice. So Zigud came to the rabbi and he told him what Tuvia did. So the rabbi said, you said? And the rabbi gave lashes to Zigud. So he said to the rabbi, Tuvia is the one that sinned. Why am I getting punished? Why am I getting the lashes because of what Tuvia did? And they explained to him, because since one witness isn't believed, you should not come and say bad about another person when you're not going to be believed. You're just speaking Lashon Hara, because we don't believe you anyways. I mean, again, you have to know every case. I'm just giving you one example from the Gemara. But the Rebbe is saying, people will learn, the kids will learn, one, somebody does them an injustice and they let it out on somebody else. Well, that's the way they see the teacher is doing. They're angry, they're demanding from the board, from the administration to pay them. And if they're not paying them, they're letting it out on the kids. How could we teach them? The Rebbe says, sometimes you find in your job, even If it's your job, you are more accountable for it. In other words, since you're educators, that's your job, you are more accountable for your actions as it pertains to your job. He brings from the Gemara. The Gemara says that King Shaul made one mistake, right? He didn't kill when he sent them out, and it counted up for him, which means he lost his kingship. He made one mistake, and he lost his kingdom because of one mistake. God called him to go ahead and wipe out the Amalek, and he was compassionate on the cattle. He didn't want to kill them. So Shmuel tells him, God has taken away one mistake, and he lost it. On the other hand, take David. David made two mistakes. He sinned with Bathsheba, and another mistake, and yet it didn't count. Hashem forgave him. He let him go. He was stayed king. Anyways, why? Why was it so particularly with Shaul? Because the Shaul's sin was in the mission. That was his job. And that means he served Hashem as a king. You can't make a mistake as a king in kingly matters. That's not forgivable. As opposed to the sins of David, which were more serious sins by himself, but it wasn't part of his job. Those were outside sins that were not within his responsibility. As the Hasidus says, that wasn't his main mission in this world. So Shaul made a mistake in his main mission, and David made bigger mistakes, but it wasn't his main mission in this world. And for that reason, it's understood, Rebbe says, that the fact that you limited the hours of the general studies over there, it doesn't make a difference in the damage you do here. Maybe the English teachers went on strike too. So maybe, I'm trying to figure out. Maybe they also, but the Rebbe says their damage is not as acute as your damage. And the Rebbe says, in addition to this, these extra hours, the children will just be going around doing nothing. They're being bottled, you know, this, besides the fact that they're not learning and they could be utilizing, it's wasting, time wasted. So the Rebbe says, it's my hope that these letters, these lines, the few lines, which are few in quantity, will be sufficient. And you will rejoice me with the good news in the return mail that you are contributing, volunteering all the extra hours. In other words, you didn't get paid for them. No, it's volunteering. And you do this with a good eye and with a good desiring of the heart. And that's the way it's going to be the success in the influence on the student. I look forward for good news in the above. A warm thank you as soon as possible. And, the Rebbe adds in a Nun Beis, a P.S., that in all of the above, the Rebbe says, I didn't touch from the perspective of halacha about the idea of teachers going on strike in a Talmud Torah and a cheder, because this is not the place for that discussion. The main thing is that I am guaranteed that we don't need to come on to that at all and at all.